The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I'm talking about straining for that logo on the side of your helmet and not the name on your back.
Yes, sir.
Because we know what it represents. It represents everybody here you see and everybody you can't that we've talked about. I'm here to strain with you, man. I swear to God I'm here to strain with you. Let's go. Everything you got, strain with everything you got.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Bills on three. One, two, three.
Bills.
You're listening to the Off Tackle with John Fita Show with your host, Joe Miller.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Off Tackle with John Fina Show, brought to you by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller. That over there is John Fina. John Fina, how are you?
I am great, Joe Miller. How are you?
I am just peachy.
Oh, wow.
And I don't mean my skin tone.
Oh, snap.
That would be more, not tomato-y. What would, I don't know, pasty? Probably more pasty, my skin tone, but yeah, that's it's winter. I'm Irish, like full on Irish. Like I look good in green, even though I hate wearing it. Like, here we go, right? This is what you get.
Oh, aren't we lucky though? We got you, Joe. We couldn't do any better.
Yes, you are absolutely 1000%.
We're lucky. Celebrating.
We are celebrating. It's Victory Monday, John Fina.
Skin tone and all. We got Joe Miller living large. Come on. Victory Monday. I got the shirt on. Hold on. There it is.
Show us.
Victory Monday.
That's a shirt that I do not have and I need in my repertoire. So I've got the John Fina Fina Friday shirt, but I do not have the Victory Monday shirt. I've got the Mimi Monday shirt. I don't have the Victory Monday.
I had to pull the trigger on the Victory Monday shirt because it's so cool.
Gotcha. Well, it's good to see you. It's good to see everybody in the chat. Thank you to everyone who is consuming this vidcast currently live on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Whatever platform you're on, please like, please subscribe. So there's a thumbs up button on YouTube. If you want to just jump on that thumbs up button for me, that'd be great. And if you are consuming this podcast in audio fashion on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, please also like and subscribe. Before we get started, we're going to hear from our show sponsor, Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, and let's hear from Spence.
Picture this: crystal clear vision without the hassle of glasses or contacts. Imagine watching Josh Allen's game-changing touchdowns with absolute clarity. At Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, we can make that a reality. Now, in a matter of seconds with Zeiss Smile technology, you can see clearly and get back to doing the things you love as soon as the next day. Visit us online at Ficta.com and take our free self-test to see if you're eligible and schedule an evaluation. At Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you. Go Bills.
Go Bills. We got some stuff to talk about here, John Fina.
Oh, that sultry tone of Jay Spence. Go Bills. It's just dripping. It's so nice. We're so lucky.
We are so lucky. Let's dig right into this thing, if that's okay with you. Why don't you give me some just high-level thoughts? There's people in the comment section already that are like, if we could get like 40 minutes of John Fina just talking about offensive line play, I'm good. Like, literally, that's where people's headspace is at. Because the offensive line in run protection showed out, right? So
go ahead. It's not run protection.
Run blocking.
There you go. Yeah. I just want you to be savvy, Joe. I know, handsome and pasty and wearing green. You got to add savvy, baby. You got to have the whole package.
You just made me sound like the Grinch. I appreciated it. Christmas time.
I'm here for you, Grinchy Grinch. Thoughts on the game? Wow. Just wow. I did feel, and I don't know, we could go back a few episodes. I did think we'd take Dallas and Buffalo. I mean, what can you say? Both sides of the ball, few errors, great play, incredible energy. The nature of the aggressiveness of the defense was exhilarating to me. The confidence in the offensive line and the run game showcasing James Cook was fascinating, right? I mean, it took you back 3-4 decades of football to look at kind of like, what, this is our feature back. Not only can he run it, but he can catch it. And he just continues to impress. It's really a marvel watching him each and every week.
Yeah, it's odd to me, and I tweeted about it, you know, because I've made comments in the past, because James Cook coming out, you know, he only the most touches he got in one college football game, I think it was 14. So there wasn't a ton of film on him. Clearly he was elusive. I think he played well against Michigan, right, in the national championship game with the limited touches he had. But like the bead on him was that, first of all, he has bad contact balance. And for me, it's like, well, all the footage that I've seen him he's usually 12 yards down, like down the field already, running at full speed when somebody glances him and then like throws him off balance. That's not really going through the line. And then the other one is he's not big enough to be a feature back in the NFL. And it's like, well, his brother, Dalvin, is an inch shorter than him and weighs 10 pounds more than him. So you're telling me that this 20-year-old kid can't put on 10 pounds? Is that, or does he need 40 pounds? Like, what are we talking about?
I mean, just look at CeeDee Lamb. That guy came out, he was a stick figure. And then I don't pay attention to Dallas football very often, but yeah. Earlier in the seasons, I was like, whoa, CeeDee Lamb hit the food line. He hit the food trucks. And that guy's, he looks massive now.
Yeah, he's still a little skinny, to your point, but yes, he's much bigger than he was, that's for sure. Like, Garrett Wilson isn't a big guy, obviously wide receivers, but then you watch his development through last year, and then the limited catches or touches that he had this year, and then Joe Brady comes in and starts giving him the football, and you begin to see him like catch up with the pace of the game. Like, and I mean, in game, the game that he's in currently, not like, well, I get eight touches a game, 10 touches a game. And hopefully I get to do something. You see him find the flow and the rhythm of the football game. And it's like, why have we not been doing this since week 4 last year? Like what?
Well, you know, go back and listen to this really cool show that I'm on called The Off Tackle Show. And I've been saying this since last year. I'm more of a crucible guy. You take a guy that you have talent in that you believe has talent in the second round. And I just don't appreciate the whole slow it down, just throw him in there. He's a grown up. Same with Dalton Kincaid. They took it a little too slow, in my opinion. And, who knows? I was reflecting back on the season earlier, and I thought to myself, for the love of all that's holy, the Denver game, the Jets game, and the New England game, and holy cow, we're the 10-3 team.
Yeah, the
Bills. I could just...
Yep, go ahead.
I had to go take something because I was getting nauseous. So I just really wanted to throw up. I was like, God... Those three games were just outright giveaway fails.
Yeah.
Epic.
I was in the truck today I was picking McKenna up from school today, and I was like, the Buffalo Bills could legitimately be like 11-3 right now. Like they and the number one seed. They like, anyways, I digress. So my thoughts real quick on this football game before we move to the good. Clearly the Buffalo Bills did what they needed to do. At this point in time, the only thing the Buffalo Bills need to be concerned about is the game in front of them. And I know that it's cliche and that's what they say all the time, but there's never been a more true stance. They need to worry about this week, and that's all they need to worry about. And then next week, they need to worry about that week and nothing else. If they win out and do what they need to do, their chances of making the playoffs are very good. They have an opportunity, potential, to win the AFC East. I think there's a rogue outside chance they could actually be the one seed if they went out. Obviously, there'd be a whole lot of losing going on around the NFL, which the Bills have not gotten a lot of help. But this was a great football game. I said last week on my show that I felt like it was something last week, the Chiefs game, they could build off of, which what I meant by that was the defense staying aggressive with the Bills having a lead, which they did. And this game, to use the phrase that we all like to say, they stuck their foot on the neck of the Cowboys and did not let it up. They were like, nope, stay down there. Like, there was no moment where it's, what if they throw a 90-yard pass? Oh, no. They were just like, we're just going to stop everybody and just do what we got to do. So, great football game. Good. We're going to be here for a minute. There was a lot, a lot of good in this football game. And I want to build off of something that Dan Orlovsky, and I'm sure you watched some of Dan Orlovsky's stuff, right? Like, he's a former quarterback in the NFL. He's the famous quarterback that ran out of the back of the end zone as he was like trying to just go laterally and stepped out of bounds for safety when he was with the Lions.
I tend to not pay attention to too many people because I like to formulate my own thoughts rather than steal, beg, borrow, and thieve.
Dan has been very good about being level-headed, and him and actually ESPN Greeny, Mike Greenberg, recently have both been like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Y'all trash Josh Allen, and he's not really the problem. But Dan actually was breaking down what the Bills did against the Cowboys, and he was talking specifically about the Cowboys' defense. And he was talking about the fact that the Cowboys run a lot of nickel 4-2. He didn't say nickel 4-2, but they run, you know, four defensive linemen.
Light.
Two linebackers that are like 200-pound guys, very, very light guys, and a lot of like defensive backs. And the problem that the Dallas Cowboys had was the fact that we kept putting 300-pound offensive linemen on these 180 to 200-pound guys, and they couldn't do anything. And then we just ran the ball right down their throat, which to me was a very stark reminder of what the Colts did with us with Jonathan Taylor. They just kept chugging Jonathan Taylor down our throat as we just would not come out of the 4-2. So
you talk about not coming out of the 4-2, but it's a personnel issue too, right? I mean,
right.
Say what you want, but look at Dodson, Bernard, and Williams. Those are not Ray Lewis, right? Big fellas filling gaps, right? So instinct, alignment, right, edge, power, and aggression.
Brian,
they might have done a little bit better, but you just, Brian Urlacher,
6 foot five. Did you play against Brian at all, or was he just after you?
He was after me.
After you, six foot five, playing middle linebacker, just like, and big, like
from the University of New Mexico.
Just a big old boy.
Yeah, he lives in Phoenix, I understand. Okay, so. Honestly, I look at this game and I think to myself, what really makes that game? And I know you talk about the defensive personnel, and they ran 4-2 and they were light, maybe some 2-3 safety kind of stuff, because historically the Bills try to beat you with Josh Allen in the arm, right? So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the layer that Joe Brady is bringing is how he's utilizing running backs out of the backfield. So we had some nice play action last night, but we're also leaking the running backs out. So whereas you have a spy now for Josh Allen, if we're releasing the running back through the middle or through the B gap and putting him out in space, you're eating up a guy, which opens up the middle of the field. So we didn't need it because we were exposing them with the run, but you can be damn sure that if we had to go back to the pass, we would be hitting the middle of the field because we'd have the linebackers sucking up on the running back crew, which, by the way, all of them played pretty damn well.
They've been playing well for 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, this Ty Johnson kid has flash. Like, he can see holes, so, big boy, and get through them.
So Ty Johnson's best play of the game was in the second quarter, and he's lined up in the wing formation outside of Deion Dawkins, and they run that play that I call zone revert, right? Mm-hmm. So we're running zone to the right, and we're pulling Spencer Brown across the formation. Deion Dawkins at left tackle has an opportunity to mug up on the linebacker who's threatening the B gap, but instead he takes the defensive end. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's on Micah Parsons. I get that. But there's a guy in the hole. The play goes, and I'm like, I got to go back and watch this again. Who's the guy that comes up into the B gap and takes on that linebacker and has a brilliant block? None other than Ty Johnson. a wrinkle on a play, and they've been adding wrinkles to this zone revert all over the place. Sometimes the backside tackle is flowing into the B gap and making his way north. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's just sitting on the defensive end, and then the pulling tackle is wrapping. It is so cool because there are variations to it. And then they throw Ty Johnson into block, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It was one play with three different variations that we saw. We ran lead week with our incredible fullback, Reggie Gilliam. That was a huge play. Mm-hmm. We ran outside, and we ran a lot of inside zone. We ran four running plays over and over and over. It was brilliant.
So the Bills have gotten a lot of criticism from all of us that watch it, whether we're content creators or just the everyday fan, watching the Bills incessantly hand off out of the shotgun. And they incessantly handed the ball off out of the shotgun in that game yesterday, but it was working. And I think that's the question that I have for you is, was it something in the way that they schemed? Because Dan Orlovsky talked a lot about the fact that they basically said to themselves, we're not going to block Micah Parsons. Like, we're going to run it number 14, which I can't remember that guy's name. But they're like, we're going to go in this direction and let Micah Parsons just kind of do his thing and chase the play, which he did a lot of in that game. So I guess that's the question I have. Why did it work in this football game when it has not the wrinkles? You talked about wrinkles. Why was it so effective? There was one point in time they ran the same play three times in a row against the Cowboys, and I think they got like 6 yards, 8 yards, and 8 yards. Like, the Cowboys had no answer for that play. They couldn't do anything.
So, I mean, the truth is, after rewatching the first half today, that it didn't always work. And James Cook bailed out a couple of 50-50 blocks like a 10-year vet. I mean, his and I always say, he's a low center of gravity. But he really, before he makes his move or his jump cut, he really drops his ass. And he's able to make that cut and accelerate. So I'd say in three or four plays that should have been 2 yard gains, he turned them into 6, 7, 8, 9 yard gains. So it looked great. Some of the blocking was fantastic. There were a few that left a little to be desired, but James Cook bailed him out. And it was brilliant.
Yeah. He has a great running style. We've talked about it a lot.
And I'll tell you another thing. Joe Brady really has a patience for calling the run and saying, I think it's there. I'm going to stick with it. Knowing full well that on occasion you get a 1 yard gain, you get a 2 yard gain, you get no gain. Mm-hmm. That's just how it happens. But if you believe in the plan and you see the things from the top that lead you to believe we can still work these schemes, then going back after it is always a good thing to do.
Yeah, real quick, super chat from Michael Graham. Michael says that first time watching live, keep up the great work. Michael, thank you so much. We appreciate the super chat. And
Michael, where you been? You laying down on the job, listening in your car in the parking lot? You watch it now. You make it on time for work tomorrow. You don't get written up anymore. Come on, man.
It's only year four of this show, right? Year four? So
yes, but we are so happy to have you. Thanks for coming by the live show, Michael.
Did you hear any of the live pressers after the game?
I picked up a little bit of Josh. I think it was on the field though. And a little James Cook. Yes.
So literally the question was asked of Deion Dawkins, Josh Allen. And I don't remember if it was asked of another person, but they asked them because there was a disparity in play calls, right? So Josh Allen threw the football 15 times, completed 7 passes. The Bills beat them by 20 something points. Like, that's insane. Which if all of us had heard before the game, Josh Allen's only going to complete 7 passes, we're like, I'm not even going to turn the game on. like I'm going to just go to bed. Like, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to go to bed. Like, I'm not going to watch the football game. But they asked him, was that by design? What did you see going into the game to make you like go that heavy in run? And literally Josh and Deion Dawkins basically said that wasn't the game plan. It was all Joe Brady. Joe Brady was like, they can't stop it. Let's make them stop it. And they just kept running the ball straight down their throat, which I feel like, to your point about Joe Brady, as much as Brian Daboll is heralded and is, I don't, you know, as being the play caller that kind of developed Josh Allen. But there was a lot of criticism around Brian Daboll, if you remember. There was a lot, like he could design plays and he could scheme guys open, but it felt like he just never had great pulse of what was happening situationally in the game at times. Ken Dorsey, a whole different conversation. But it feels like with Joe Brady, and this is just me as a fan and just as I mull driving around in my truck or sitting like while I'm working, it feels like plays were being called before, and now there's a purpose for why a play is being called now.
Right. So, you know, people throw a lot of commentary around like, oh, you need to be situational. Well, what does that mean? It means put the play that you've designed to get 4 yards in place when you need 4 yards. Mm-hmm. Right. So you've got 3 or 4 of those. It's 3rd and 4. You need 3 or 4 of those. And if they give you a look, then you're going to try to throw it down on the 9 route. Maybe you drop back and protect because they've shown something. But what I see is when you're preparing for a game, you're like, not like me, but you're like an artist staring at the canvas, right? Mm-hmm. And you get your chalk, you do your line drawings, and then you start to fill in the color. And then you start saying, like, you're Bob Ross, I'm going to add a tree over here, and then I'm going to add another tree. Happy and then lunch. by the time the game comes around, your game plan could be swollen, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you feel like I made this. Look at this beautiful game plan I've got developed. And look at this giant card I get to read all these plays off of. So you almost start to get married more to your game plan than the actual game itself.
Right.
So
right.
if you filled the game plan with all these nifty, great ideas, but something's working, you know what they say? You know, ride the horse you came in on.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he did just that. And I think that's really, I mean, I'm glad that you told me that instead of me having to filter through a bunch of media to hear the comment, because that gives me great faith in a guy that has a feel for the game.
Right.
Who's actually on the phone, who's talking to the players and saying, tell me what you see, mm-hmm. you know, instruct me, what's the opportunity? And, you know, he's obviously paying attention to that. Now, look, I'm not willing to crown the guy yet. I think he's doing a terrific job. And, I mean, boy, that learning curve, woo!
Well, he's done this.
Being a play caller.
He's done this before. This isn't his first time. So he was a play caller in Carolina and in LSU when they won the championship with Joe Burrow.
It's a different crew, a different cadence, a different feel. And you know what? I'm telling you, you get tight. So he's looking pretty loose. I'm pretty happy about it.
He looks good. It's been 4 games. There's an aspect for me that I'm probably ready to crown him as far as that goes. It's funny because everything that you just said about, you know, kind of backing up what I said about you find a play that works, keep running. I was going to go to like a family thing. So as a little kid, I remember sitting on the couch with my grandpa and my grandma would come in the room and, you know, they were married forever. Right. So for a million years and, you know, old couples with it, old couples interact. And like the Bills were not good back then. Right. Joe Cribbs is the running back or Greg Bell at the time. I can't remember. And I just specifically remember like they'd have one good run. Right. The Bills would have a good run. And my grandma be like, I don't understand why they don't just run that play every time. And my grandpa would swear at her, Dorothy. Like she didn't know, and it was just so. And then you watch it happen in real life. It's like they just ran the same play 3 times in a row. Like it worked.
Okay, so every time. But you're bringing up a great point. Let's just say, looking forward, and we will beat the Chargers. But there might be a circumstance where those brilliant run plays of yesterday don't work next week.
Right.
But
right.
You still got a run game plan, and you are going to implement that SOB. And I promise you that there are going to be more than 9 Buffalo Bills fans in Bills Mafia saying, why do they keep running that play up the middle?
Right.
You mean
right.
The one last week that James Cook got 140 freaking yards
179, on? 179 on the ground. So he had 179 yards in that football game, which was crazy.
Well, you know, I'm talking about the in-between the tackles play.
Yeah, he matched levels only that we haven't seen since you were on the football field, John. So.
Woo.
there were some running back behind you. So
look, there were some really fine performances out there on the offensive side of the ball. And I love Josh's comment about, I feel like I did a class project and I got an A, but I didn't do diddly squat.
I loved it. Yeah, it was great.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I think that's a relief for him. And it bodes well because now people are look at this film and say, wait a minute, the Bills killed Dallas and they hit seven completions? We better go look at this film. And, you know, it was great when you watched Barry Sanders mm-hmm. in Detroit and you thought to yourself, well, I'm looking at the film. How do I stop him? I mean, they're all trying to stop him.
Right.
So it definitely, like, you start looking at the Bills' offense and saying, okay, wait a minute. They can beat you with the quarterback's legs. They can beat you with the running back's legs. And then Stephon Diggs and the running back can catch it out of the backfield. And, oh, don't ignore Shakir or Dalton Kincaid either. You know, you start kind of wrap your mind around it, thinking, now I'm building a defensive game plan as big as Dorsey's game plan that I feel like I have to call every play just because I put it on a card.
Yep, that's that you literally said it. So I work from home, as you do as well. So I sit on the couch and I do work. I pound out emails and make phone calls with the TV on in the background, right? So that there's always sports stuff on in the background. And they talked about the fact that teams have had great quarterbacks, right? And great quarterbacks haven't necessarily won the Super Bowl. Teams have had great running backs, to your point, Barry Sanders, right? And they haven't won the Super Bowl. The Bills are in a situation where if they can get teams game planning against them to stop the run, and you've still got a great quarterback behind him that can be Superman when he needs to be, right? Not to mention the fact that he can also run himself. So they're already pulling somebody out to spy him. This is literally the piece that's been missing. The run, and we've talked about it for years. This isn't new conversation. When we had Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, and when Aaron Kromer first got here, it was all about fixing this run game and getting like an identity on the ground and like finding something that worked. And finally, it seems like, hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on all the wood you can find, it seems like we're going in that direction. But to your point, Josh Allen completed seven passes and they scored that many points. So defenses now, this week, the Chargers are going to be looking at, with their new head coach, what happened in the run game that we need to be careful of, right? Which takes away from time that they need to spend game planning for Josh Allen, which is great. So another super chat from the same gentleman, Michael Graham, in for a second time, double dipping. John Fina, he says, this is the best offensive line since, in your
since opinion. Jesus wore sandals. I mean, the apostles, they were some bad dudes.
I think, well, it helps when your running back just walks on water. Like, and he just.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, loaves of bread, fishes, the whole bit.
I saw a meme about Jesus going, like, what would Jesus do if he went into Olive Garden with the free breadsticks? Would he, like, confirm?
No, I said, yeah, you sent that to me. That was good.
Breadsticks free.
yeah.
Anyway,
I'd so. Like 5,000. Michael.
Qualified. You know, Bills. Best O-line. Bills O-line since. Blank.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. Jesus was our quarterback. So, you know, it's hard for me to talk disparagingly about a group when they don't have all the pieces together, right? Would our offensive line have been as good as it was without Thurman and Jim? I don't know, right?
So you're saying that I'm going to say the talent. You're saying the skills players behind the offensive line help.
Of course, 100%. So if I look across the offensive line, I would say that this is a you know, top 10 offensive line, maybe top five.
Bill's history.
But in Bill's history, probably, you know, top three, wow. Top two, somewhere wow. in there. Wow. But again, you're marrying it with the production. You know, if I look across the board positionally, you know, I don't know that we were so much more special, you know, on the eye test than the guys that you have now.
Right, right.
But it's a quarterback and it's a running back, and we had wide receiver one and two. So, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's what we're experiencing.
There's a lot to be said about literally what you're talking about, because even inside of this version, so you've got the Electric Company, right, which sent several guys to the Hall of Fame when OJ played. You've obviously got the offensive lines with Kent Hull that you were a part of and all those guys. And then you've got this offensive line, and there were offensive lines in between there when Eric Wood and Richie Incognito were on the team and some other guys sprinkled in there that did well when this team was good on the ground. But when you talk about Josh Allen specifically, his sacks are down this year, which is big, right? We've got two new starting guards. His sacks are down. But even throughout Josh Allen's history, and you texted me during the football game, I think I messaged her. I don't remember exactly how it went. I said that at one point Josh was getting happy feet in pass pro because you could just see that he felt the pressure a little bit. But a lot of the sacks that Josh takes, to your point, are Josh's fault, right? Because he likes to work outside of structure so much. He bails early. He drops too far. He takes off. He does something he's not supposed to do. But yeah, right?
Yeah, and I don't... It's not a disparaging comment on Josh.
No,
I'm just saying that if you scramble early and, you know, 70% of the time you make a great play, I'm not really like, if I'm on the field and I'm Deion Dawkins and my quarterback does that, I'm cool as long as he doesn't get up and look at me and say, you got to protect better. And I'm like, whoa, right. Bro, you're going to get yourself off the ground now. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, you come, if I'm blocking a guy and you walk up into him and he tackles you, that's on you, brother. So
right, right. Just chill a little bit.
Yeah.
No, that totally makes sense. And coming off of your show or this show last week with Greg Cosell, I mean, he said something.
Oh, you missed that show, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not happy about it. But he said something in that show that really landed with me. In as much as it's something that we knew, but it began to open doors and thoughts for me. And I actually, Jerry and I were talking last week after that show, not about that show. We were just talking and just some stuff came up. And he said that Josh Allen is not a precision passer. And I'm going somewhere with this. I know you know this part, that he's a guy that wants to play outside of structure. And that's what makes him good. He's not a drop back, hit his fifth step, hit his seventh step, fire the ball, and like sit in the pocket guy. He's not Troy Aikman. He's not necessarily Jim Kelly, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady. That's not the guy he is. So you've got to play to who he is. But the doors that began, or the windows that began to open to me was like, I wonder if, and going back to Ken Dorsey, if Ken Dorsey was trying to make him be that guy. Because we saw stuff in Ken Dorsey's offense that we never saw Josh do, which was basically lock onto a receiver, watch him run down the football field, and then throw the football to him, and then it would get picked off. It was a bad throw. Josh Allen is very good about going through his progressions. He's good about getting through three or four, getting back to one or getting back to two. So it was odd for me to watch him like just chase a guy with his eyes down the field and then throw the football. And there's been criticism since then about the fact that there was a lot of, Josh has even said, maybe I need to stop thinking, because there's been a lot of like, this is where the ball's supposed to go, throw the football here. And he doesn't play that way. Right.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is I thought about this earlier today, all on my own without consulting you. I'm kidding. I was thinking like, you know, that comment about Josh, we all knew it. Maybe Greg put it in words for us that made sense. We all believed it. And frankly, I'm happy about that, too, because I think the defensive fronts are better now than they were 30 years ago when I played. So I think we got the right guy, and definitely he's an instinctual player. I like the idea that I'm getting a feel from Brady that he's an instinctual play caller. Hmm. And I think that might be what's sort of like the disconnect between Dorsey and Josh and Brady and Josh, right? I think maybe it, and I don't know, maybe Dorsey was a little bit more like, you know, formulaic engineering. You start here, you go there. And maybe Josh just didn't feel comfortable in that. And I think with play calling and situational play calling and setting a goal of, hey, we're going to get 6 yards on this play because we know we have two more downs. Maybe Brady is a little bit more freewheeling in that, look, we're going to be here looking to do this. These are your options. You choose. Have at it, kid.
Yeah.
And I think that plays well to Josh.
I loved what you said a minute ago, just about, I built this entire game plan because literally my creative brain puts me in the situation of I made all these plays. We practiced them. We got to run them at least once. So why not here? Let's pick this play and run it now.
Yeah. Like, have the humility to just see what's being offered to you and take that and just put everything else up on the shelf. It was a great idea, but we're running the ball. Let's just keep running the damn ball.
So take cool what the defense gives you is not only a quarterback thing, but you're saying that it's also an offensive coordinator thing?
Well, why are you about to slam me next? Of course it is.
No, because I don't think that's necessarily something that we all think about. We think the play is called, the quarterback should take what the defense gives him. Meanwhile, is the offensive coordinator?
Absolutely not. No. That's part of play structure and game planning. And analytics is looking at, okay, we're on their 45-yard line. It's 3rd and 6. What do we typically see? And what does that give us? Like, what's our opportunity? And then we look at matchups, right?
Yeah.
And you say, okay, well, on this particular play, if we get this matchup, that's read number one. If you get this if you don't, then that's read number one. And where's my outlet? And, you know, everybody's talking about it. It seems like James Cook on the outlet, whether he's going up through the A gap or the B gap, is a weapon. Now, consider this. I'm sorry, I cut myself off. I hate it when I do that. I'm kidding.
Wait, I didn't cut you off. It wasn't me.
You've got a spy who's looking at James Cook and Josh Allen, right? The spy. He's the guy sitting there. I have to account for this guy. Get James Cook out a little bit quicker. Have him break into the flat. The spy goes away. Josh can still run. Josh can still pass. Chances are, I don't want to cover James Cook in the open field. I'm going to need surgery if I tried to cut that, you know, chase that guy around in the open field. It's really, and again, going back to game planning, take what they give you, but also take what you have and expose what they, you know, personnel matchups you have.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's transition over to the work. And there wasn't much for me. For me, there was one penalty called against the Buffalo Bills, technically. There were actually two personal foul penalties called, one on Taylor Rapp that was negated due to offsetting penalties. The dude basically supermaned into Dak Prescott when Dak Prescott was in the middle of a slide, which is something that you just don't have to do. So as much as Bills Mafia on Twitter was very upset because he barely touched him, he didn't have to do it. Like, Dak was giving up and he hit his face mask. That one
wasn't it the second one that Dak just dipped super fast? I mean, sometimes
the second one with Terrell Dotson, the problem was, yes, he dips down super fast. And if Terrell just basically stands his ground and he dips into him, it's fine. But Terrell Dotson lunged into the tackle and went helmet to helmet with him, which again is a personal foul penalty. You can't, if he'd have dove head first.
Look, I get it. I get it. I know what you're saying, man. I'm just saying that when I played the game of football, you weren't stopping me from going 100%.
Well,
you don't just turn it off.
The game has changed, John.
The game, but I'm still telling you the instincts that are required for you to play that game, and you're flying up on a guy, and he does a late slide. I thought the first one was a good call. I thought the second one wasn't so good.
I would agree with you in principle. I think the problem is it's the lunge effect. So he's sliding into you on the second one. He's sliding into you. You don't have to lunge forward into him, which is what Dotson did. The first one, there are times when it's a bang, bang, very quick, hurried motion. The quarterback goes down fast, but there's also times, and this was one of them for Taylor Rapp, where you can see the defensive back, the defensive player make a decision because he's whatever he's doing. There's kind of a hop up, a hop down, and then a dive at the quarterback when he's already like going down. Like he's making the decision to like dive at him when he's giving up. And to me, it's just completely unnecessary. And you were hurting your football team, right? It's a potential momentum changer, which we've seen happen to this football team. But at the end of the day, it's hard to complain when they effectively had one penalty. I mean, it's all it was, one penalty, and it didn't really hurt them, right? So.
So you say that, and I don't know. I'll go back and look at it, but I think it's more egregious what Lawrence did to Josh because they were standing up, and he literally took that extra step. I think when you're flying around from the secondary, from the second level of the defense, a lot of those instinctual motions and dropping and launching are already in play.
Yeah,
I mean, but when you're mashing up against a quarterback like this and you extend you're going to get that one. You should get it every time.
Eric Farrell has a comment, and I love this comment. And the reason that I love it is because we're never going to see it. But if we did, in theory, so Eric says, isn't Dak a running back when he's running across the line of scrimmage? The answer is yes, until he slides. And here's the thing. What you never see a running back do is slide. You never see a running back run down the football field unless he's trying to give up before the goal line so he doesn't actually score to like run the clock. But you never see a running back run down the football field and then slide on his butt. If you saw a running back run down the field, slide on his butt, and then a defensive back or a linebacker hit him on the way down, that would get flagged for a personal foul. It absolutely would get flagged all day long. If he dives forward, different conversation. And we saw that in this game too, where the players were diving forward and then like guys would jump and pile on top of him. Like it's just a different. It's a different nuance, but that's the only thing that I had necessarily bad from this game. I mean, there were some drops, but it is what it is. I mean, there wasn't much. What do you have? Anything that needs work?
Yeah. I mean, I would say Dalton Kincaid could catch a little bit gooder than he did, but I'll tell you, that guy blocks really well, and I'll take the trade every now and again, drop a couple balls, but he did some things in the run game blocking that were very impressive. Yep. Maybe it's just because he's a rookie and he doesn't know how to be lazy yet.
Right.
I hope he never gets there like some guys. And we could talk offline. There's an expression for guys in the receiving positions that don't block. It's not fit for family radio.
Did you see George Pickens this weekend?
No.
There were two plays. For George Pickens on the Steelers. One, it was a goal line play, and the ball carrier, I don't know if it was Najee Harris or who it was coming at him, and he basically, instead of blocking the guy in front of him, stepped away from the guy, and then like there was a melee below him, so he like hopped over the melee to get out of the way, like didn't engage at all. And then there was a ball that was thrown, targeted at him, that got intercepted, and he jogged in the general direction of the interceptor, but clearly did not go after him. Like it was bad. Yeah. It was, I don't know how they watch. You talk about guys watching stuff on the film, which if there's a play that's getting watched in the film room tomorrow, it's Deion Dawkins, like running that guy 20 yards downfield, right? Like that's going to get all the oohs and the ahs in the film room. But I don't know how George Pickens makes it out this week with the efforts that he put on the football field. But anyway,
different. Well, that poor kid from Dallas that Deion Dawkins rode 19 yards down to the 1 yard line. It's, you time that up. Like everybody who's played football has had that play and you time it up. We're like, yeah, man, I gotta go to the bathroom. you make sure you're out of the room, because that guy's probably a good football player, but he got caught in the clamps. And right. I watched that play six times, and I'm watching Deion Dawkins shuffling his feet, beautiful shuffle, great technique inside the frame. The guy takes off, he starts to extend in a legal blocking way, and it just worked out so poorly for that kid. I'd like to say I feel bad, but I'm reveling too much in celebration because I've been there. I've been on both sides of that deal. I've been on both sides, and to see one of my guys do it to one of their guys, I'm kind of like, you go, dude, you go.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's one of those. Oh, sorry. You want me to go back to the work? My bad. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So the work, after this game, it's hard. So I kind of like, I got to think about the whole season, right? In particular, I think that Osiris Torrance still needs to improve, right? He's still doing some things in pass pro that you can get away with in college that you can't do in the pros. A little too much dog in a butcher shop, right? You always have to stay on your inside. You always have to be on the inside shoulder. And even when the guy's in space, you're a guard, but you're playing like a tackle. You have to treat it that way. You go flying out, you get beat. Beyond that, Spencer Brown still has some, I think, pad level issues, stuff that he should continue to work on, play a little bit lower.
Way better than last year. Playing way better.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and we'll never know. I mean, until we sit down and drink a bottle of bourbon with the guy, I mean, how much was the back injury really affecting you? You know, but he is so much. People love this, especially like physics, people that do math. I'm like, he's more squarer than he always is. Like, oh, square, 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 right? But you could see his hips are not turning. And I think, I sent something out to Jerry during the game on that. When you stay square, you force a guy to beat you upfield. And if you're an athlete, then you get to be an athlete and you get to widen the guy and run him around the back. What else can they work on?
Joe Esposito said two punts almost blocked. Special teams, and I like Coach Smiley, has not been – there's been some issues, some challenges this year.
I honestly, I'm just going to say, you tell me almost blocked, all I heard is no pressure, no punts blocked, right? So well,
the reality is most punts are almost blocked. We're talking about fractions of a second, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that nobody coached that guy on how to block a punt because he had it blocked. Yeah, special teams can continue to improve. I just try not to even think about special teams because it's like foreign to me. It's like speaking Mandarin. I'm like, I will never understand them. I can't communicate with them. We're not getting engaged. We're not having a second date. I just don't get you. Right. Like you and I don't get along. Right. Defensively, I thought that the secondary played extremely well. Rasul Douglas it's him or Floyd. Like, who's the best pickup? And you've got Williams and Dodson playing well, and Terrell Bernard. It's like in the absence of all of our injured guys, now to include Jordan Phillips, we've had the next guy step up. And I know how you hate all the sayings. It's a week-to-week league. We got to prepare for the next. But all that shit is true, Joe. Sorry. Sorry to burst your bubble. You want more. But it's a week-to-week league. You play with the guys that show up. You don't apologize, and you don't make excuses.
Context matters. Context is also true and matters. Context. When you play like shit week to week, it's not a week to week league. You're a bad football team. Period.
And who's gonna walk out there and say this team sucks? Except for right now, it's like Chicago and the Patriots. Hey, I'm at the podium right now. We suck, and I'm the worst of all of them.
Listen.
I'm not listening to that. I'm leaving.
I appreciate confidence in NFL football players, but when you're losing to the Patriots and you're standing in the interview room with a microphone in your face and you got a smile when you're being asked what happened out there and you're like, it's a week to week league. It's not that big of a deal. It's like, no, this is who you are. You guys are not playing good football right now. And that's just what it is. That's not week to week. You suck at the moment. Doesn't mean you're garbage and you'll always suck, which this team has turned it around, but context is also important. So,
well, for sure. I agree. But, they're only going to give up so much to Joe Miller, to make you happy. Oh. And by the way, like, you come off a loss and you're on like this path of perplexing play. Path of perplexing play. It's pretty good. It's a lot of alliteration right there. So if you're not in the mood to like overshare, like, I'm not sitting at the podium thinking, how can I make Joe Miller happy? Like, with what I say, what will satisfy his angst and his disappointment? I got to be honest with you. At that point, I don't give two shits about what Joe Miller thinks. I just want to get to that podium, deliver a message. I don't care if you think it's great or it sucks. And then I'm going to get my ass to the weight room, the training room, the meeting room, or the field and get ready for the next one, because it's a week-to-week league and I got to get ready for the next game.
Just so everybody knows, tomorrow John is announcing his candidacy for the governor of Arizona, because that is a very political answer, and that's how politicians answer questions.
But at least I delivered it with passion. I would be up on the dais, be like, hey, Joe, look, I appreciate you wanting me to give you a little bit here, but I don't care about you. And I'm just going to give you the run-of-the-mill crap because, frankly, I don't want to sit here and talk about how crappy we are at the moment.
It's more about the questions that are asked. And I'm friends with a lot of the Bills beat guys, like good friends. But there's an aspect of, like, you know, Joe Brady gets asked last week about Stephon Diggs and the bubble screen that he got thrown or something like that. And so I don't remember exactly what happened, but Joe Brady's answer was, well, we threw the bubble a couple of times and it worked. And I was like, when? And that's what I would have said. If I was a beat reporter in that locker room, I was like, can you tell me when the bubble screen worked in the last 4 years? Because this is the worst bubble.
What are you talking about? We actually had some decent success with it a couple of games ago.
You and I were on a podcast, this show, with Steve Tasker, and Steve Tasker finished my sentence. I said to Steve, when you've got a defense that sees the bubble screen as much as ours does and gets beaten by it, he literally stopped me and said, why can't our offense run one? And I was like, yes, exactly.
I hate the play. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it because I hate it.
Right. But anyways, that whole thing is about just, yeah, answering questions. But let's talk about this. This is going to be quick. We're going to be done here in a minute, which I did my best this week, just so you know, to get us out of here in like 35 minutes, 40 minutes.
Yeah, I know, but that's the problem. We got to do a separate podcast because then we're like, we don't play off anybody. I was like, 10 minutes, a great game. See you later.
2024, the Off Tackle with John Phoenix show is going to be a daily show, a 20-minute daily show. So
you want to do that?
If we get the sponsors for it, I'm all in for sure.
I'm telling you, Michael Graham said he'd vote for me. Maybe he's got a few ducats. You got to be able to substantiate my campaign with some dollar value, Michael. Let's go.
The Buffalo Bills are flying to Los Angeles to play the Chargers, who have just fired their head coach and who should have been fired 2 years ago, probably. I don't expect this to be a rally around the head coach kind of game. They fired the head coach and the general manager. That team is a mess. Obviously, Justin Herbert's done for the season. Keenan Allen struggled with some injuries. The Bills should go in there, and they should dog walk this team, in my opinion. So I don't know what you've got for expectations for this game.
Oh, my God. That's just like...
I'm not here to tell you.
I'm done with you. I'm not saying here to tell you. Like that.
I'm not here to tell you
that the Bills is not cool. That is not cool. Don't even put that out into the universe. It is hard to win a football game, Joe Miller. I don't care how down and out a team is.
The only thing they've got going for them is on defense. So I just don't. If the Buffalo Bills, who have traditionally shown the ability to play down to their opponent, they should win this game by a couple possessions, 20 points, in my opinion.
You and I are no longer friends.
Khalil Mack is the only guy that got on that football team right now.
You cannot
right
now. Talk like that.
I'm talking like that. Your camera's blurry for some reason. I broke your camera.
It's blurry because of what you're sending my way. The wavelengths are all off.
I broke your camera. Anyways, what are your expectations?
You silly, silly man. Look, I think as long as you win by 1 point, that's all I care about. Just one freaking point.
If the Buffalo Bills go out there, play down to their opponent with a new head coach, new general manager, no starting quarterback, and they win, they come out of that game in a last second field goal to win the game by one point. We are not having a fun conversation next week, Monday, which is crazy.
I'll say this. Oh God. Is our show on Christmas?
It'll be Sunday. The game's on Saturday. It'll be Sunday, but yeah.
Oh, we're doing our show on Sunday.
Yeah. We'll do it on Sunday.
Do I have to cross myself?
If you're Catholic.
I am Catholic.
I know you are.
Okay. So expectations for the game. I really think that this is a great opportunity for Joe Brady to start, you know, really developing himself, right? So you got a team that's in disarray, an organization that's in disarray. That locker room is probably a mess, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to find guys to pick on a little bit on both sides of the ball, right? You want to expose people. I think the best thing you can do is just like they did against Dallas, you take the ball down the field and you score, you celebrate, and you show up with some great defense, hold them to a punt. Honestly, it won't be hard to take the wind out of their sails if they can muster any, but you can't give them a lifeline, right? Mm-hmm. You can't let them believe they have a chance. Mm-hmm. I think what you're going to see, you know, James Cook yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. With running the ball, catching the ball, you're going to see, I think, seam routes. You're going to see a lot of crossing routes. A lot of things open over the middle. Josh will be back. He'll be 21 of 32 for 305. I think James Cook will have probably 12 carries for 78 or 85. All running game on the ground. You're going to have 120. Bills win by 13.
I appreciate that. I like the two score. Eric Bynum, who's the editor-in-chief for Buffalo Rumbling, says, and he's responding to Eric Farrow, who's like, oh, great. You know, all the content creators are going to go out and talk about how we're supposed to blow the doors off this team. He says, as the editor-in-chief of Buffalo Rumblings, I can assure you that I won't be discussing how the Bills should blow out the Chargers out. Well, I get free speech, and I'm allowed to say whatever I want to say. Yeah. And the editor-in-chief is not going to stop me from saying we should curb stomp the Chargers in this football game. Curb stomp them.
I am canceling you for your utilization of free speech.
You are allowed to fire me. This is your show. If you want me out of here, yes, you can literally say to Matt, I'd like Joe Miller gone, and I will.
Yeah, but you guys know me, and you still haven't given me the keys to StreamYard, so I don't even know how to set up a link. So you're safe until somebody gives me the damn password and login information.
What he's saying is absolutely true.
It is 100% true. I feel like I'm being treated like an infant around here. Oh, look, I found Jerry O's helmet, the one he was born in.
That's amazing. I was at the Bills store today because I have a big gift card for being a season ticket holder and like an authentic helmet.
Hey,
helmet.
What am I getting?
You're not. An authentic Bills helmet is $419. $419 for an authentic Bills helmet. It's like, good Lord.
That's a lot of money.
And that's the end of the show. So I'm going to get us out of here unless you've got something else to say.
I do. I in my heart of hearts, I wish that Bills Mafia would just be a little less, you know, manic. Mm-hmm. I know it'll never happen. So
my show's called the Overreaction. My show's called the Overreaction Podcast.
But you don't tend to. It's a total.
But Bill's
Mafia. It's a total red herring. It's a red herring.
But Bill's Mafia does.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. They do. Look, we love our team. You're not going to like burn all your Bills gear like they do on Fan Zone on college.
No.
Which is great. The Dr. Pepper commercials.
Right.
So love your team. You know, love them for their faults. Love them for everything they do that's great. Forgive them for their losses and celebrate their victories. And, you know, it's we got an opportunity. We need a little help. We own our destiny in some ways. But I hope that you and I, Joe, get to talk live into the playoffs. And I'm rooting for our Buffalo Bills. I think they have a chance. And I think that they've got a feeling right now. And that matters.
Yeah,
if they can keep that going, that will matter.
I agree. So it's being asked what time we're going on Sunday. Keeping in mind, Sunday is Christmas Eve. So everybody stay tuned. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It won't be Christmas Day, I don't think. We might have something special coming for you for next week's show, which will be fun. But stay tuned. We'll keep you all posted. But ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, you have been tuned into the Off Tackle with John Fina Show, brought to you by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller. That there is John Fina. What are you smiling about?
I just think that you're so talented, and I'm amazed.
You're looking every time at a comment. I'm like on a different screen, so I can't see the comments.
No, I'm not. I think you're fantastic. That's Joe Miller, everyone. He's the voice, and he is the co-host of the Off Tackle Show with John Fina. And Thank you all for joining in the comments. We really had a great time. And Joe?
Yes, sir. Go Bills.
Go Bills, brother.
Go Bills.